What up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all. Carry my city like
some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing. Hey.
Can I sing a little something for the audience, the listeners, Emerson? A little hymn. Precious Lord, till I think, Emerson. I need joy across your face if we're talking about the Lord.
People are going to bounce off the podcast. You doing that. You should.
Why would they bounce off the... Well, you know what? If they bounce off because they hear me praising the Lord, then bounce they go. Hopefully they bounce back and not when it's too late.
I'm not here for that kind of stuff. That kind of talk.
What, Emerson? What kind of talk? Go ahead, put it out alive. Say it.
No, I'm just not here for that kind of talk.
What talk? Say it.
That talk you just did. I'm not here for it.
Don't be code switching.
I don't code switch.
You are now listening to What Works For Us. All black.
All queer.
All black.
Happy holidays.
Happy boom like a NATO way. Oh, Mariah Carey went back number one, Emerson.
Congratulations, Mariah.
The queen of Christmas. You have Apple. Did you watch her special?
I didn't. I haven't watched any of the Apple specials.
Oh my God. You always have some kind of excuse.
Well, I mean, I don't watch TV. If it was, maybe it was on YouTube.
Not TV. It was not on TV.
That is TV. It's Apple TV.
I mean, but it's not on like a programming. It's the same thing as YouTube. It's an app. It's a streaming service. It's not TV.
Well, YouTube is not really a streaming service.
What is it? A video?
It's a video search engine.
Okay, but they have streaming service.
No.
You can't stream on YouTube? I guess it's just all video content?
It's all video content. I mean, you can stream stuff. I guess it is streaming, but yeah. It's not the same. It's not. I don't watch, you know,
it's
programming.
You do watch programming. You watch weekly programming on YouTube.
No, that's not programming.
What is it?
It's content.
Oh, she came out with the Christmas special on the streaming service. That was content.
Not... real content, though, not fictional.
She saved Christmas.
That's fictional.
Well, some of them girls that you follow is fraud. Well, maybe not you. I think you vet your girls pretty good. None of them is living fraudulent life. It's nothing going to come out in the water.
No, it's maybe like except one. B. Simone's not. How's she fraudulent?
I was just kidding you. Just kidding you, Emerson, are you going to check in first? I think you should this time because I did the last two times. I kept a tally.
Did you check in first the last time? I think I might have volunteered you.
Oh, listen, I'm just going by the facts. I know you're trying to go. Okay, I'm going to check in. This is the Emerson check in. Well, you guys, you know, same old for me. I've been busy taking care of my baby.
Don't check in for me. Check in for you. What did you do this last weekend?
This is my check-in.
That's not your check-in. Your check-in can't be my check-in. Talk about what you did this
weekend.
No,
I'm stopping you from being able to say
it. No, that ain't going to stop me because I'm still going to say it.
I've been taking care of my baby. You know, business as usual. I've already told y'all. Let me stop. No, so this week for me, I'm talking to Mr. Telltales now and not Edmondson. This week has been, I guess it would be just business as usual. I think I'm still in holiday mode, but I felt really stressed today, Emerson. Very, very stressed because it's like a few deadlines, there's more deadlines. I don't think I'm really prepared for 2021. 2020 was so much, and I'm still trying to wrap up all the things that I did really get prepared for 2021. Mm-hmm. And I have not wrote a plan out. I don't know what's in the mirror program. Remember, this time last year, we had already had our end of the year meeting. It was already laid out what we were going to do for the rest of the year. I'm not there yet. It's a distraction going on right now. and so I think it hit me today, like another Monday, 2 weeks left for the end of the year.
Well, when are you off, though? Like, from your job?
Well,
don't y'all
technically...
You off now?
What do you mean off from my job?
Like y'all stop? Yeah, they when they shut down the clinic. Don't y'all go be off for like 2 weeks or something?
No. Yeah, it's not that kind of. It's not a, that your private practice that you your uncle. No, we have to serve the community, especially during this time. I mean, we'll be off during the holidays, but not like 2 weeks off type of thing. Maybe I won't be there as. It's not even that, right? I can't even blame the clinic for me not. I just feel like I'm already in off mode. That's the problem. And I'm not. Because I think ending 2020 was a lot. It took a lot out of me. So I needed a break to start planning for 2021. And what I mean planning, you guys, I have all these ideas in my head. I'm talking about specific programming. If Art Hills is coming back, what does that look like? What's in the mirror? We launching all these programs, more funding, more problems, and more money. So that's what I mean. Not that I don't have these ideas in my head. You know, I want to write. I have some projects that I really want to do, you know, passion projects. You know, I really want to focus on Mr. Telltales a little bit.
As you should.
I gave a lot to What's in the Mirror in 2020, but I felt like I needed to make sure we didn't be like some of these other organizations that, you know, that that was really impacted by what this year brought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I feel a fluster of stress today because it was Monday and the emails are still coming and the Zoom calls are still happening. And
oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed with all these. I have so many content planning workshops that I feel you on a different way, but I feel you. Like, it's too much. Like, today I was just like, I can't go to all these content planning workshops. Like, I just, it's too much. I'm like, it's one tomorrow. It was one today. It's one tomorrow. Then it was this one woo-woo one where it wasn't, it's a 5 days to, 5 days to, or no, it's a, something, it's about building your, what am I trying to say? It's not building a business, but it's, I guess it's like for business owners. I don't know. It's a woo-woo stuff, but it's talking about, you know, how to make your million in 2021 or something like that. Nothing get rich quick. But anyway, I only want to talk about it because I guess they had an assignment. I'm in a Facebook group, but I didn't actually watch the video. So I go in there and look at what people are doing and they burning stuff up. I'm burning this up. But 2021, one got burnt up the suit. I'm like, what in the Angela Bassett is going on right there?
I'm not going to cry.
Right. They were just burning shit. I'm like, oh, they burning away 2020. Which is, I had an interesting perspective about that because I looked and I'm like, I don't have anything to burn. But
you know, I mean, I would say, you know, I think what 2020 taught us is that being prepared and not this, and I believe in the woo-woo. You know, I always believe in the woo-woo.
Yeah.
But we have experienced a year that people was saying all types of stuff about what they were going to do 2020 and 2019. And I feel like, honestly, I hope the biggest thing we got out of this year is like development, self-development, and whatever that looks like, that we actually learned something that will prepare us for 2021. You know, I'm here for the burning and shit and everybody like, I want to be done with 2021. I'm here for it. I am here for everybody saying I'm done with 2020 with the words.
Oh, she's saying goodbye 2020. They are not playing.
But my thing is, though, that fire can be ignited in 2021. I think that's what I've learned.
No, I agree.
That the flames, you can put them out, but they can get started back up.
They sure can.
And I just hope that we're just better prepared. And what I mean is like each individual person, each individual development, whatever it is that will make 2021 easier for you because you learned in 2020. I'm just hoping, because I just like these people are already ready. I'm done. I'm already in 2021. Yes, I understand that, but I hope you learned. Me too. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. I guess why I'm stressed, because I'm like, I want to be more prepared and not just thinking that just minute planning, you know, is going to, you know, sustain me.
I need
to really continue to go big or go hard because I don't know what next year has in store.
Yeah, no, I think, I agree. I'm sorry. I'm about to go through these. These is going to crack me up.
Crack you up. Everybody burning their shit.
Oh, they burning their shit. But, oh my God, that's my whole freaking group feed. Anyway, no, I agree. I don't have anything to burn for 2020. I already said in the last podcast, I'm already in 2021, but not because I say, I mean, with racial injustice and all that shit, now that, like, first of all, that's not going to go away. But two, it's like, you know, that kind of shit is like, that was a lot, you know, and just all, every week, somebody getting murdered and we seeing it on social media. That kind of stuff was like a lot. And
but
that
do we know it's not going to happen in 2021?
Well, that's what I just said. It's not going away. But I'm just saying that I could see if maybe I'm like, well, shit, I could, that was a lot for me. But no, I don't have that perspective. You know, I gave birth to something new this year, and I worked on it all year. So, you know, and I was probably a little bit more relentless about it this year than ever. So, you know, like you said, planning, I think that was me. I'm like, you know, and then with this whole shit with the government, let me not start talking, but I agree with what you're saying as far as making sure that I'm good and making sure that's my whole thing. Make sure I'm good, mind, body, and soul, and making sure that I'm doing what I need to do, where I'm looking out, where I got my own back. Mm-hmm. I'm like that anyway, but I mean, to me, exposed this year, you know, y'all up here and be, y'all so dependent on these other entities, honey, and they didn't give y'all the middle finger.
Okay, all the way through and through. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just really what it is. I'm excited about 2021. I've been seeing the vaccine, and that is interesting. I would say that. I guess for me, like I said, as a person, did we already talk about this? About would I take the vaccine or not?
We talked about offline.
Oh, not on the podcast. Okay. So I guess for me, as a person like living with HIV, that take medication every day to live. And mind you, I take this medication every day to live because the doctors tell me to, mm-hmm. right? It's not that I'm a scientist and that I know that if, you know what I'm saying, I'm really just... It's faith. It's medicine and faith. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still here. And so I would take that as a sign where, you know, I have experienced people that have died from HIV. That, you know what I'm saying? So I know what could happen. And I can only speak for my own journey that, you know. So I do believe in medicine. And so I guess for me, like, I would just take it, bitch. I'm done. I'm tired of this shit. Stick me in with the goddamn vaccine so I can be done with that. Maybe. Again, it's faith. I don't know. It could, you know what I'm saying? So, and we were talking about offline, and I was just like, this idea that you can't be apprehensive about it. I don't like that. Like, let people think about the choices they make with their body. Like,
1,000%. Either way.
Yeah,
like,
either way.
When you saying what you said, I don't think I flinched the eye. Because I'm like, that's what's best for you and your body. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't talk about it. You know, I saw MJ Harris online, and this is why I stopped watching his videos, because that was my disconnect. The whole thing with Corey and everybody talking about that was fraudulent. I was still, girl, I still watch him. You know what I'm saying? Like, girl, you gotta do. But this whole shit with him and this COVID, I'm like, girl, I'm not about to watch you, because I don't like that fear mongering, and I don't like that you trying to tell people what he was saying. Well, I guess his argument last time was for people that's trying to tell people to don't do it, which I can understand that too. Don't tell people don't do it if that's what they feel like is best. Mm-hmm. My thing is, I really think everybody needs to mind their damn business and do what you need to do. If you need to go and if you want to go and do that and do what you need to do, do it. You know what I'm saying? And am I going to flinch an eye or nothing like that? No. But don't flinch an eye at me if you were like, well, Eric, did you schedule your appointment? No. And just take that for what it is. Right. You know, don't try to, well, you just sit up there. No, I sit up there and need to do what's best for my body or what I feel or what I believe in. So, not to touch you off, but I agree with you 1,000% on that.
Yeah, I think we need to get out of that controlling people or that the government has to control. There's no way that the government should be doing a mandate. I'm not here for that. You know, and you know, they just socialism, democratic socialism, the government want to control it. Yeah, I don't believe in all that. I'm not going that far into it. But no, the government should mandate someone eject, you know, having to take a vaccine. I don't agree. I didn't like that at my job when we had to get the flu shots. But again, I took them. You know, again, my trust in medicine. I have a particular trust in medicine that I already rely on medicine.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, I just think that'll just be sending me through a, like, well, girl, you already do. So why are you even going through all of this conspiracy theory about it? But the idea that people can't talk about vaccines and trusting, you know, the healthcare system that was not designed for us, that is actually written, you know, in medical books, you know, that Black people can endure more pain, all types of stuff, right? So let's be clear. You know, me and Emerson were just laughing about the girl that took the first vaccine that they want to put all on, you know, MSNBC and CNN is a black woman. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so y'all want to use a black face as the model of the COVID vaccination? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not here for it. It's some shenanigans to it, but it is what it is. But so, yes, let people make the decisions they want to make with their own body. You can't be pro-choice, right? But then, you know, fear-mongering people into taking the COVID vaccine. Mm-mm. We can't determine what is good, you know, the options that people make with their bodies. Yeah. You know, we can't, you know, like, oh, but you can, you know, you can kill a baby if you want to. And I'm definitely pro-choice. I'm pro whatever someone wants to do with their body. Point blank, period. So I'm taking it. So it is a story. But I don't know how to get on the list. Like, why I ain't got no email? Like, I don't understand what the process. Like, cause they talk about the New York first line. I'm like, well, do they have to be in the hospital or could they be in a clinic? Like, what determines somebody being a healthcare essential worker? Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, did I miss the memo? Is it only in certain states yet? Like, I think they need to. I would say they need to be a little bit more transparent as to what is really going on. All of a sudden, we couldn't have the vaccine. Then all of a sudden, 500 million been shipped out in 2 weeks. It was just 2 months ago. It was not even in the foreseeable future that we would have this vaccine. And all of a sudden, now it's already shipped out and already in somebody's arm. That's crazy how, like, things can happen when they want it to happen that freaking fast. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You already, like, literally a month ago, we were still not wondering if we were going to get it, and now we're already in somebody's arm, a black woman's arm at that. But whatever, they need to let me know how I can get mine, because then I'm going to the club, and I'm shaking it like a tail feather, and if I don't not get COVID, I'm going to be so pissed. Like, y'all did all this for this not to work. So, yeah, that's where I'm at this week. I went to Dallas. I seen an old friend. That was really good times. That's pretty much it. What's popping with you, Emerson? What you do? And you cannot use the word and don't start off my check-in.
First of all, don't tell me what I can and cannot start off my check-in with.
You heard what I said.
I don't care what you said. Don't try to tell me. Don't do me. Do your lace front. Anyway.
Oh, girl, this is a snatch ponytail. And it's not a lace front.
They have snatch ponytails as lace fronts.
I said that is not a lace front. Did you hear the second part?
Well, you just got you got one of those invisible lace fronts. Don't do me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Honestly, since last week, it really has not been much of a change of anything. I have been trying to be more... all the stuff I was talking last week, I've been trying to implement. So I've been trying to be more active on Instagram. I'm taking baby steps, but, you know, I'm allowing myself to take baby steps. I'm like, even if I'm not doing it right, I'm not posting something I'm not supposed to post. I'm over that shit. I mean, I'm trying. Of course, I want to do it. Like I told you, all this content planning crap. I want to do it right. But, you know, I'm still on this whole, I ain't going to go into the whole thing. But, you know, what I was talking about in the last episode, if y'all didn't hear, my big thing is embodiment. So I'm just all about... doing things I need to do within my zone of genius, my art, my work, that type of thing. So that's that on that. It's nothing really anything. The same stuff that everybody else has been going through, you know, the whole thing with Ashanti and Keisha, I was ready to watch them on Saturday. And you know, I got the news that, you know, Ashanti has COVID. So, you know, I didn't even get into all the memes or anything. You know, a lot of people talking about, like, they was like, look at the comments and all this kind of stuff. I didn't even get into the comments. I'm like, girl, these comments are probably off the hook. So I didn't even go and, you know, even open up that Pandora's box of...
Well, they were saying she'd been all over the world and talking about she don't know how she got COVID. I don't even know how I got COVID. They're like, well, girl, you know. I just thought that was funny because it was Ashanti. Like, Ashanti in the hot seat is always funny to me.
No, it's hilarious. I was like, it would be her. It would be her. And then she was like, well, I'm going to see if we can do it from home and everything like that. I'm like, girl, stop it. Swizz Beatz, shut that down. No, we ain't doing it. Like, no, we're just going to postpone and holler back at us in January, okay? Trying to think. Anything else that I've been up to or anything other than going to the grocery store? And, you know, Christmas is what? Isn't Christmas like 11 days?
What you get from the grocery store?
Nothing, really. I mean, as you can probably tell, I think I bought some more tea and some water because I needed to water my babies. So, because one of them, seven, he kind of scared me a little bit. I was like, he had a lot of leaves falling off. And I'm like, I'm like, my baby. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, okay, I drenched him today. I was like, oh, no. No, we ain't playing those games. So I drenched the fuck out of him today. Because I was like, and seven is my plant. That's my plant baby, for those of you who don't know. And he was having a lot of leaves fall down. Now, I've had leaves that maybe I've had to pull off, but it was actually leaves falling off. And I'm like, oh, hell no. So I pretty much drowned him today. But not really. I mean, I know better than that. But that's where I got from between. No, I don't drown my plants. I know how to take care of my plants, clearly, because I've had them for a couple of months now. It just, he, you know, he gave me a little scare. But, you know, I think I've been having to cut the heat on lately because it's been getting colder. And I don't know if that dry heat has been doing something to him because, you know, they're used to being, you know, in the tropics. not necessarily tropics. They're, what is it? The rainforests of, like, rainforests. They're like rainforest plants in South America. But anywho, that's that.
They were shipped from South America?
No, that's just where they're originally from.
Oh.
But
so they were shipped from South America?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they were shipped from South America. I think they might have been grown here, but I think the origin of them are...
Okay.
Yeah, they're... Yeah.
The seed.
The seed, yeah, but they're... Yeah.
So. You know about seeds.
Actually, I don't. I really don't. What else? Yeah, that's... I don't... I'm trying to, I don't really know, I don't really have any, like, I'm thinking about, oh, Christmas, I'm like, I don't, it's just work, it's the same, I haven't seen anything.
Are you doing any Christmas shopping online?
I haven't done it yet, so if I do, it'd probably be an after Christmas type thing, which, I mean, I ain't necessarily tripping about, but, you know, I guess, because, you know, I guess.
Feliz Navidad.
I've been trying to, I've been trying to hawk or not hawk but stalk to see if they're gonna offer overtime during Christmas because this will be my last little attempt at it just for Christmas, and that's it. So that's really much it. Oh, wait, no, that's actually not it. I forgot the biggest thing of them all. So my virtual styling signature service, Styleslay Speaks, website is what up. Inactive. You can go to styleslayspeak.com and you can read all about my signature virtual styling service for public speakers. So if you know of a public speaker who needs some help with styling or anything like that, you can holler at me. And don't even do that because I just need to print out your paperwork because you got a lot of stuff you got to fill out. So
how much stuff you want my blood type?
Well, no, I don't need your blood type, but I need data. So
you
I got some shit.
You want me to do my ancestry.com?
No, I don't need all that, but I need some data.
I'm from Congo.
I was going to do you, and then I was thinking, like, I'm going to do virtual, but I'm not doing virtual. So that's the only thing I'm waiting for you, because I'm not doing virtual. So, yeah, Tyreek, well, yeah, no. I got you. I was literally looking at the papers last night, everything I need to print out. So, yeah, I just need to print them out and get everything together, and then we're going
to
get that process.
Can't you just, like, send it to me virtual? You don't have DocuSign?
I don't want to make things difficult.
I'm just playing. Look at this. She ready.
I'm trying to make things easy. Like, it's easier for you to fill it out because if I actually did it to you that way, I was going to tell you to go to another site to fill them out and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't even feel like doing that. So I'm just going to print it out and give it to you. And then
so
we'll start off.
Do I have to pick a date or, like, what's your availability that you set up? Like, so I fill out this paperwork.
Oh, well, no. Once I print it out, then I'm like, okay, then I'll send you an email and then we'll talk about dates.
Okay.
And I'll send you to my schedule. You can pick because it'll be your pick, not mine.
So what's your availability looking like? Like, how did you set that up? I'm just wondering, like, in general,
for you, it's going to be different because for virtual people, once I start working with them, because, you know, my job.
When is open, so it's just not when. It's
what, like, do you mean?
You said your website is open, so somebody can book you right now.
Oh, well, yeah, I can be. I'm saying when somebody actually books me, that the time
book
is.
Edmondson. Right now, if you're listening to this podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
What's the website again?
It's styleslayspeaks.com. Don't tell people to book me like that.
Styleslayspeak.com.
Don't tell people just to book me like that because they need to be able to afford to pay for the services. So.
Okay.
Okay, so.
You try to say our listeners are cheap?
Now, I'm not saying that. I just want people to know that there's an investment, because some people be getting, I've been betting this shit for a while. And people,
well, how much you charging?
It's $17.97.
Who?
$17.97.
So $1,797?
That is correct.
Okay, so the clothes are free?
Absolutely not. You have to pay for the clothes.
Okay, we'll talk about this offline.
Yeah. And okay. That's actually under. I'm actually not even charging what other style or personal stylist charges for that. So that's actually a deal until I start going up. So yeah, that's what I said. Don't be sending people, they thinking, oh, this is going to be $20. It ain't that. Anyway, so yeah, head on over to styleslayspeaks.com. If you are there, please don't look on your phone. It looks so much better on my on the computer.
I will show you. Well, don't say that. I hate when people do that. Like, because somebody was telling me that the other day, like, oh, I like it better on the computer.
It don't look the same. You could compare it.
Okay, y'all. I'm on styleslayspeaks.com, and we're going to do a website review. Okay, so we have a black woman. So we know Emerson works with black women. When you get on the page, it said, uncover your unique personal style. Boost your confidence and look amazing in 6 weeks or less. Oh, I can click, but I'm going to keep going. It's a lot of black women. Style Slay Speak. Virtual style coaching services for public speakers. So when you say public speakers, who determined that they're a public speaker? That's self-determined?
Yeah, if you speak publicly, if you're a public speaker, you know you're a public speaker.
Okay. And so so what's the recruitment for you? So as a new business owner, people might not come to you. How are you going to be able to find public speakers? Beautiful website, by the way.
Thank you. If I showed you the girl who did it.
It's so black and white like you.
Yeah.
With a hint of color here and there. Yeah. But it's all black women. Okay, choose an appointment. Oh, you got a lot of availabilities. What have you worked during some of these times?
I haven't changed it, but I need to change it because that was my schedule.
Well, yeah. So, yes, make sure you contact Emerson before you book that appointment. I don't know. No, the website is beautiful, guys. The you can actually book the appointment now. He's still going to edit, but beautiful. So, yeah, how are you? What are some of your ideas around recruiting? So you have mentioned before what your ideal client would be. Mm-hmm. So it's up now. You're here now. Mm-hmm. You got to recruit. Who are you looking to? It says public speakers, but...
Yeah, the public speakers.
Okay, so where do you find public speakers?
Well, you got to hang out where they be. So public speakers, I mean, they have hashtags on Instagram, and you use... Oh my God, Tariq. Well, cut a fan on. It's only 75 degrees.
Okay, I can fan myself.
No, it's a lot of things you have to do. Embodiment is a part of it. That I have to show up so people feel comfortable working with me. That's one thing. So that's why I said embodiment is so important, because people have to see me and know who I am. Because they don't know who I am, why would I would, for me to just, oh, I got the website and that's it. It don't work like that. So, I still need to get on YouTube. That's another thing, more video, but that's all part of embodiment. That's why I say embodiment is big for me in 2021, because me showing up is the most important thing that I have to do for my business, because that's how I'll connect to people. I already have a blog. That's SEO. I have posts on my blog that speaks to public speakers only, and there'll be more to come. So if public speakers are searching for certain things, I'll come up. So SEO is one. I'll do that on...
So why public speakers?
Public speakers can afford me. And can public speakers... booked? Well, but if they get booked and they're charging what they're worth, they can afford me. And public speakers, public image, or what they look like on stage matters. Like, they're in the public eye, so they can't go on stage looking a mess. They need to have some type of, what I want to say, they need to look good on stage. On period, like, and
no,
it doesn't.
No. I mean, I get it. I'm just asking. Yeah, no. I definitely understand.
Well, no, they're like, they're the
cash cow job. Yeah, I see green dollars all around. But
yeah, no, and it's and then one of the biggest things that I've been learning, you know, in my learnings, and shout out to my fellow 313, Jerisa Hawk, one of my business coaches. She, you know, she was big on niching. So I had a public, not a public. I had a coaching call back in earlier this year. And, you know, actually I had a couple of coaching calls. I talked to two different people. And I had a coaching call and I was telling everybody in the group about what I was doing. I was like, well, I might do this and I might do that. And when, are you going to cut the air on and it's 40 something degrees outside?
I will not cut it. Why would you get on the fan on the mic? Why would you say that on the mic?
Anyway.
You told me to cut it now.
Well, it's not even cutting on.
Oh, yes, off.
Yeah. So, that's why I said cut the fan on.
Which fan?
That one. Oh, okay. Well, anywho, long story short, my business coach told me I need to niche down. That's her big thing. Like, you need to niche down because you need to be known for something. So, which is true. I don't totally agree with that. I would rather be known for only styling public speakers. I just feel like that's more money, like you said, than it is for me just saying I'm a style coach for everybody. So, me having this niche market and being known for that, and I don't really even see, it's an underserved community, to be honest with you. And I feel like public speakers can be, and this might be a stretch, they could be a step up, or step, not step up, a step, a notch below, like a celebrity. Kinda. So, it's like, you know, because some of them are very known. You know what I'm saying? They travel, people know who they are, they have these big platforms, and they're underserved.
Well, I'm your client, and I had a presentation on Friday, public speaking on a panel. Did you come see what I had on?
Well, no, but that's not what, I'm not that type of personal, I'm not a personal stylist like
that's
that.
Not a personal, I'm just saying, like, if you have a client, but I mean, I don't know your method, but that's what I'm, like,
well, that's, well, right, it's all at styleslavespeaks.com, though.
Well, I'm just saying, so for you to know, because I can say who I am, so would I be considered a public speaker?
If, yeah.
Okay, so I had a panel discussion, okay, so so I can come to you and I can say one thing, right? How would you be able to visually see it? Do you go back and look at old video? Like, you, for you personally, as to do your job, not necessarily service to the client, but for you to be able, you just look at their closet versus what they might look like.
No, it's about
virtual.
What you tell me. It's not about what I don't just go and look at somebody's closet and say, wear this, wear that, wear this. That's not how it works. It's more so me collaborating with you and me pulling out of you what you want to do, how you want to present yourself to when you do public speaking or something like that. So this is all conversation. It's work. Like I said, it's work. That when you work with me, you have to do some work too, because you have to tell me, you have to show me some examples of some looks that you want to, or people that, you know, maybe some style icons or whoever, people that has maybe a style that you kind of like or admire. That gives me an idea. We have to discuss what your style personality is. We have to figure out what that is. That's all happens in discussion. So once I know that stuff, then I can say, oh, okay. But just starting off, like when you said, well, just knowing you, I don't know anything.
No, that's what I'm saying. So not necessarily for the client, right? So not the client experience. I definitely agree that you have to kind of set standards. And like, because if it's a client be trying to get you to do stuff that's not a part of your job description. Mm. I was just wondering, like, for you on the other, like on the back end, like, okay, you have these clients and they're saying one thing. But baby, you like, well, I don't know. Let me see, you know what I'm saying? Let me see what they actually looked like on Good Morning America yesterday. Just like, what it looked like.
Well,
like,
how they dress and
right,
how they
like, what's
things?
Your advice? Like, would you be able to give advice? Like, I was like, well, Emerson, look at me last Friday. What did I look like? How was that? Great fashion.
I wouldn't do that though, because I can't say, you can't just say come to me. That's why, that's the thing, that's why it's a process that I have to, you can't just come to me and say that I look good. Well, I don't know, what's your style personality? How do you dress? What kind of clothes do you like? What is your brand? How do you, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are all things I would need to know. So if I don't know that, I'm like, well, I don't know, maybe you want to look like that. Yeah, that's my whole thing. Like, maybe that, if that's how you want to dress, I won't say anything until you say no. Actually, when I had this outfit on Good Morning America, I did not feel confident. I did not like what I had on.
I looked sleepy Friday.
Well, that's not clothes.
Well, I think my outfit made me look tired.
Oh, okay. Well, if you felt like you looked tired, like, okay, well, then we need, maybe it's color. Maybe you have an issue with coloring. Maybe we got to figure out what colors work for you. What color season are you? Which is a big thing I just read. I was reading, I can't talk about the one thing because it's going to be a topic in an upcoming episode, but I was reading an image consultant's Yelp reviews, and it was, he works with men, and this guy gave him a horrible review, but he was saying how his coloring, he was like, well, you know, he didn't even tell me what my coloring is and what colors look good on me. And I was like, and he went to somebody else after he went to this guy, and he was like, yeah, just telling me what colors look good on me and anything like that was worth the money. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was such a big thing. So that's, you know, so maybe that's what it is. It could be a coloring issue. It could be maybe the clothes are maybe dated, and maybe that's might be why you looked tired, because the clothes were dated.
No, you did, bitch. So that's not my clothes. I had on last season, because that's why I look tired. I look 2020.
Well, that last season 19, might not 19. Be your season. Okay, so these are things that we have to talk about. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it really depends, but that's why it's a lot. Like I said, I need a lot of data. And then once we get the data and I start getting a feel, I'm like, oh, okay, well, once I get everything I need to know from you, and you'll be like, go back and look at my thing or look at my Good Morning America. I'm like, oh, well, that ain't you anyway. Why are you dressing like that? That's not even based off of what we got. You don't even want to wear clothes like that. Why are you dressing like, I don't know, you somebody grandpa? That ain't even how you want to dress. Like, why did you even pick that out to begin with? Yeah, we need to get rid of that. Like, because that's not you. So that's my thing. So that's how I would work once we talk, though. So it's a lot of communication that's going to happen with me and my clients.
Well, from everyone here at What Works For Us, the production team. Everybody from our social media team, all our listeners, we want to say congratulations.
Well, thank you.
We look forward to continue to hear the journey. I think I think your journey has been really our journey has been really prominent on this show, and I'm excited. I'm the first client. So I'm not going to say, like, emethinisthebomb.com. That's all you're going to hear from me. But I will be transparent about the experience.
Yeah.
I think that'll be interesting. And shout out to everybody that's really listening, though. Like, no shade. Like, honestly, when he said public speaking, right, it's a virtual world. All y'all asses is on somebody's Zoom camera speaking publicly.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, when you say public speaking, you really still talk about everybody.
I kind of am.
but it's specific to what they're doing as a public speaker. And I think that still makes your job, it makes your client pool bigger, but it still makes your specific job that you are doing as a style coach for public speaking more concentrated, where you're able to be specifically known for a niche. So I think it's intelligent and, like, you know, Will, congratulations to my boo thing. He just got recertified, another contract as Dr. Mosley. So congratulations.
Congratulations, Will.
He just sent that text message to me. And he will be Emerson's second client. But again, he does public speaking. I mean, he, you know, presents to a university every day.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. That is public speaking. So basically what I'm trying to say, when you think like, well, do I do public speaking? Zoom call is public speaking. If you have to speak in front of people, it's public speaking. So, shout out to Emerson, y'all. Y'all heard the website. What's the website again, Emerson? It's your check-in, though, but go ahead now.
It's styleslayspeak.com.
Oh, I love that. First of all, how the hell you get that goddamn website? That was just available, styleslayspeak.com.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even expensive. Not like Essence of Style.
Oh, yeah. That one you was hunting down.
Oh, my God. I'm still getting that locked down, because I saw something and I'm like, oh, hell, I got to hurry up and get this locked down. But, you know, intellectual property people, that's very important. But, yeah, no, it was just available. So, yeah, I was like, okay, yeah.
And that's your booking website.
South Slate Speak is.
Yeah. Oh, that's your. Because your blog is Essence of Style.
Yeah.
And probably will have a link to your actual service.
Yeah, right.
And your service is Style Slay Speak.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you go to Essence of Style, you click on Work For Me, and that'll take you to Style Slay Speak.
Okay, girl.
So, yeah.
I see it, girl. I'm sold.
Yeah, so, but to kind of segue into the topic of today's episode, at the top, for y'all listeners, or if y'all haven't already went to go look, which you should just go look at it, but at the top of my page is a beautiful, beautiful chocolate drop woman, sister, and I was very specific with the pictures that I picked. So it's funny she said it, because I was very choosy with the pictures that I picked, because I want to amplify all Black women of all shades, and all the girls or women on the top of my site are all... I have every shade of Black woman pretty much on my page, but I start off with the chocolate drop, which most people would not do these days. Mm-hmm. Most people would pick a more fair-skinned, mulatto-looking chick. But I want to amplify chocolate drop, chocolate women, women of all shades. So I really have every shade on there, but I just want to amplify women, all black women of all different colors. So it's funny, you know, this your topic, well, you kind of came up with the topic, so I'll let you kind of explain, but it's funny that you did bring it up, because when I actually saw the page, I was like, yes, I was so happy that she was at the top, just because I was like, I want to amplify women of all shades of brown, because that whole colorism thing is still an issue, and light skin is better, and I'm light skinned it, and all that kind of stuff. That's still a thing. But you can go into the topic, I guess, more as opposed to what you wanted to talk about.
Well, I mean, I think you hit it right on the nose. What you know, and I think I know on this show we have been talking about racism and racial injustice and George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, the list goes on and on and on. Even last week it was somebody else, right? So, and when I say somebody else, I don't want to minimize another loss of or another tragedy for a black person, but I just don't remember their name at the moment. So let's be clear, it's not just somebody else, right? When I say that very, very heavily, and it carries a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. So I was watching Real Housewives of Potomac reunion, and you know, and I have not watched this season. I have never had so many people tell me that I need to watch a show in my life. Outside of, I've been told by everybody that watches this show has, none of the reality shows, no one has all just single-handedly, like, you gotta watch it, you gotta watch it. Like, do you feel like it's been like an uptick with this Housewives of Potomac this season? Because I feel like everybody's talking, or at least recommended that I have to watch it. Like, mm-hmm. It's so good this season. Mm-hmm. I know for me in general, like, just to be on the top, I think we already talked about it. I'm just not in that space of reality TV. Mm-hmm. Unless, honestly, I'm going to be honest, you know, black queer YouTube. That's where my reality TV went. You know, I was done giving Andy Cohen and Bravo my viewership. Let me give a click to the black queer YouTube shows that really speak to who I am. I'm not a housewife of Atlanta. So while it's cute to watch, it does not speak to any of my experiences.
Right.
And not saying that those other shows on YouTube does either, but at least it's more to my experience.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'll just put it like that. And But I just really wanted to talk about, because on that show, they were talking about colorism, like I watched last night, and they on a reunion special, then even the after show and after show, colorism came up around being light skinned and dark skinned. And I listened to a podcast, shout out to 730 Podcast, one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to every week around mental health. And he had a conversation about a podcast show that I listened to today around race, you know. And basically our conversation I wanted to have is like this topic around is white right. And that is so, and I'm again, like, I feel like the reason why me and Edmondson was kind of, why I kind of was apprehensive of having this conversation with Edmondson, I felt like he was, because the conversation is just so old, it's so dated, mm-hmm. It's the same conversation that we always have, mm-hmm. But it always come up. Mm. It always, this issue around colorism, around, and you know, and like I said, I know we focused on racism, but we really haven't focused on race, because I think what kind of brought my attention, a couple of years ago, I was in a play called The Stories of Us. And that play really opened my eyes around the idea around people that has multiple racial identities. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they're mixed with black and Latino, white Latino, black and Latino. And we've talked about it on the show, but you know, what I noticed was I was in a cast, I was a black man portraying like a black, a darker skinned Latino, a black man that may be from the Latin diaspora, mm-hmm. which black Latins look like me, right? Mm-hmm. That was not a far fetch, but it was very specific for me to be in that role to represent, you know, a person of darker skin, to let people know the diaspora of what it is to be Latin. You know, there are black Latinos, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all talk about Amara La Negra, right? Mm-hmm. She's another example of that. Mm-hmm. And so while I was in this show, I realized that the other four castmates that was in the show, they were all mixed with Latino and black, right? Mm-hmm. But they all had different identities. Mm-hmm. One of them considered themselves to be just black. Mm-hmm. One of them considered themselves to be Latino. Mm-hmm. One of them considered themselves to be mixed. One of them, I think I want to say multiracial. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have four different same amount of blackness versus Latino. They all had different identities. But I also understood the struggle with living in those identities, be it the acceptance, whether you're accepted on the Latin side, whether you're accepted on the black side. It just, I really had a different understanding. Growing up in Detroit, that was not something that was, you were black or you wasn't black. And that was pretty much it. But I would, me and Emerson had that conversation recently, but I feel like that was to our advantage. Because what I noticed in this sensitive culture, you know, and Emerson has been saying this for months on the show, that we're so sensitive. What I've noticed that has come out in this sensitive culture, we're now, or and not just the sensitive culture, but what has transpired in 2020. We have now decided that we are going to be the dictatorship of what's black. We are perpetuating the same white supremacy that was perpetuated on us, right? Because we were told what was black or what wasn't black. That's how we come up with this idea of mulatto. That's how we come up with this idea of, I mean, and we can go all into like the historical transcripts and, you know, readings and, you know, stories that's been passed along around, you know, masters sleeping with the slaves and all these mulatto thing. Then I'm bringing up Mulatto because, you know, the rapper Mulatto. And I just really want to have this conversation because the idea, right, that someone who's mixed, and especially someone who's mixed with white, is less black. I really have a problem with that when we know historically, and I'm just going straight there, and we can come back to the conversation more ground, you know, to another level. Mm-hmm. Historically, we know that it was, they represent black women being raped by white men. Mm-hmm. So how do we look at light-skinnedness, and I'm being ghetto, light-skinnedness as less than black when we know that the reason why they kind of exist in the first place because the mistreatment of black women, the rape of black women. So I don't understand how we took a discriminatory act against blackness and made it un-black. I'm curious about that. I'm curious of how mixed, like being light-skinned, where we know we had a whole generation of people that were light-skinned because they were raped by white men.
Yeah.
When did along the lines, and again, this is a whole different, we're going to have more conversations around this, but I'm curious about that, Emerson. When did that become a bad thing to be light-skinned in the black communities? When did we stop protecting our light-skinned girls? Because Emerson said in Detroit, the light-skinned girl, now, they had their issues, but they were black girls.
They were black.
They did not have to question their blackness in my hood or in my school.
No, they were black. They were black. That's never been a thing. I mean, hello, my mom was a light-skinned woman. So, mm-hmm. You know, it never, that ain't never been a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people see my mom and like, oh, she ain't black? That ain't never been a conversation. Mm-hmm. My mama was black. You know what I'm saying? Like, and all the light-skinned girls or whoever girls, they was all black. So I really, honestly, I don't even know how to answer that question because I don't, of all the pro-black people that I follow, well, now I don't follow that many, but the ones that I do and actually listen to stuff that they have to say, that's not even a conversation that they have. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some of the men, they're married to light-skinned women. And there are people that come in there and they be like, your wife is, you know, light-skinned.
Right,
she looks white. Right. and they be like, no, my wife is black. Yeah. They're like, she's not white. Well, she has a white mama or she got one of her parents is white. And they be like, so what, she black. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and because two of them do have very fair-skinned women.
That is another topic, though. We always talk about that.
They do.
But go back to what you were saying, because I think that's a very important point. They were still black.
Yeah.
They were still like, so I don't want to minimize the issues around colorism.
Yeah, no.
But I am very disturbed around the questioning of blackness versus skin tone, you know, because of skin tone. I just have it.
The problem is one of them is one of your homegirls. Because the problem is people like Doja Rat. That's the problem. I think that answers it for me. She's the problem.
Go ahead, go into that so yeah, they can know what you...
So Doja Rat, you know, she...
Who is Doja Rat?
Doja Cat. Y'all know her ass. Doja Rat. She, you know, because she doesn't have any dealings with her black side and all this kind of stuff, and that maybe she does, and she's used to being around, you know, being around Anglo and her Anglo side. So maybe she does identify more with that side. And maybe that's why she was on those white supremacist groups and, you know, telling them to call her niggas or whatever, or calling them niggas. I don't, that could be where that, the wiring's all fucked up. But like, I think somebody like her would be one of those people I say I don't trust. Like, mm-hmm. I don't trust her. Who is her loyalty to? Like, is she loyal to, and I guess I should make her pick because she is biracial, right? Mm-hmm. I can say that. So yeah. She's biracial. So I'm not trying to make her deny that her other side, but it's just like, but then you go in these chat rooms and you telling white boy, tell them you nigga or whatever, like, and you know, clearly that's your preference, which is fine. But then, you know, when it comes to stuff, I feel like you use it, it's almost like you use it to your advantage. Cause you know, well, if some shit go down, well, bitch, I'm white. Oh. Well, you were just black with me a minute ago when we was over there twerking and we was listening to all the raunchy music and stuff like that. You was black. You was one of the black people. Now, you know, you code switching. You around these white people and we about to go, some shit about to go down. Now you're white.
So that is a conversation, right? That is the, I definitely see that. And I think that's going back to like, I never did get that quote that I wanted from that guy, but that internal racism, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
That people have because of their experiences, because I don't care what Doja Cat, where, what building she walked in, what color her hair was, how perky her titties looked, and no, you know, not to, you know, gratify women, but she's still, if not a black woman, to everyone's eyes, a woman of color.
Yeah, definitely.
She's not white.
No.
Ain't no white person. Like, if she was put next to a white person, she is not white.
No, she not.
You know, and no, I don't care what she say. I don't care. You know, because we can self-identify ourselves.
Yeah.
As people who have, you know, these internal things going on in their head. Because yeah. Their mama, like, I'm sorry that your daddy wasn't there. And your mama is really got blonde hair and blue eyes. You look black, though. And that's hard to appeal to swallow. And that's a hard psychological issue because one of the things that I have come to terms with in my adult age, again, this is not me growing up in Detroit because, again, I didn't have to deal with all this. Everybody around me was black.
Okay.
But what I do realize is that in those situations that while we maybe act as if they have a choice and maybe they have convinced themselves they have a choice, most of their life has been spent as the black one. I can imagine Doja Cat or someone like her, you know, Beverly Hills 90210,
yeah.
All white school, the pretty girl, all white aligned. Mm-hmm. But when some shit, that what you were just saying, that example, when some shit happened,
yeah,
or will happen or has happened, she was the black one.
Yeah, that's true.
She was the one that the father, the real racist father, was like, oh, hell no. Mm-hmm. You ain't having no babies with her.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't care what she thinks. She could think she, you know, the whitest girl on the planet. But girl, you not. You know, unfortunately, right? Yeah. Like, that's not a decision that you can make. You can feel a certain way. But racism doesn't really allow that. Like, you can, you know, we can feel it. But, I mean, that's just not what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important because, but, you know, at the end of the day, so I just, you know, as we continue to have this conversation, my biggest issue is really this throwaway, this politics, this cancel culture, this cancel culture that we are having within blackness. And I don't like it because I feel like we're starting to try to make light skin, and it's always the women. It's always the women. Mm-hmm. You know, even watching, because even though those conversations need to be had and we need to make people uncomfortable, you know, I'm the king of uncomfortableness, and I think colorism is an uncomfortable conversation to have, especially for a light skinned woman to have.
Yeah,
but you know, it's 2020, girl. Like, we gotta have it. But I don't think that the idea is they're the enemies automatically, and I feel like that's what I'm getting a sense of. And I'm not trying to be a light skinned save a hoe. I'm really not. I am not trying to be that dude. But what I'm saying is we can't allow historical tactics of racism that has already divided us to resurface in this resurgence in a year of blackness, right? Like, we're, you know, and so it's a conversation that need to be had, but that doesn't make them the enemy. And that's the only thing. But we are going to talk about the shit, though, because colorism does exist. So it's not a shame, you know, I think, you know, as watching Giselle, right, or Karen saying the girl, the dark-skinned girl didn't have the Potomac look. And when you look at the stage, and but they got more dark. They do have two dark skinned girls, yeah, but you know the three: Giselle, Robin, and Karen. They definitely holding it, and Ashley. They're holding it down. They're a very light group of black women.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And so, what is your thing amongst about that comment? I know you didn't see it, but like this idea that this darker, she's darker than even Candace and Monique.
Yeah, I've seen a picture of her. Yeah, I've seen a picture of her. I just don't know her by name or anything. But I think that goes to that self-hatred stuff. I think it go, well, they have fed into that oh, you light-skinned, that light-skinned pretty, you know, because you light-skinned that you're pretty. I think that has been embedded, especially Karen. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's older.
Oh, yeah, she's from back in the day.
Yeah, she's from back in the day. So, you know, back in the day, oh, she was, you know, she was that bitch. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She was some girl from some farm and stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so she, this light-skinned girl from a farm come around. That's why she got snatched up. You know what I'm saying?
By her dark-ass husband.
Right. So, and whoever she was married to before him. Mm-hmm. So, I think that sometimes they don't even know that they're playing into that when they say stuff like that. But you know what, though? I saw something that was so beautiful the other day. And it's actually by a woman who might be my coach in 2021. I think I'm vetting her. So I think she's going to be my coach in 2021. But she's Atlanta, real cool chick. I think I like her, but I'm still vetting her. But she was talking about when she was in light-skinned girl, beautiful. I can show you a picture of her. Beautiful girl, beautiful woman. But she's, you know, a light-skinned woman. So, you know, niggas be on her. Niggas be on her. But one thing that she said that was beautiful to me was when she was in high school, first of all, she said she thought she looked funny. She was like, you know, I had a big forehead and stuff like this. I'm looking at her, I'm like, girl, please, all the niggas wanted you. And they still do, like, on, like, in the comments and stuff, like, they be on her. But, you know, but she was like, well, I thought I looked funny. Let me get to the point. She said she thought she looked funny. She had a big forehead and big nose or whatever like that. And she idolized Naomi Campbell. And I was like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Of all the people that she could have went to, she could have went to Tyra. Mm-hmm. But she said she loved, she idolized, she thought her and Naomi Campbell had a lot in common. She said they were odd beauties. And I was like, I thought it was just a beauty in that, because I was like, you know, Naomi Campbell is a chocolate drop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm like, for her to compare herself to that, I feel like that's what I feel like what we speak to, like, she's a black woman. I'm black. You know, she didn't look at it like shade. You know, she's a odd beauty. She has this big forehead and da-da-da. She didn't even think about color. She thought she had something in common with Naomi Campbell, and they look totally different. This ain't a good picture of her. But that's her. That ain't a good picture. But anyway.
why you didn't even let me see her?
Oh, no. That's not a good picture. I mean, I'm not trying to sell her anything. But
I mean, she cute.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But she's what a lot of these dudes who go after light skin, they go after. But that ain't my point. My point is that I think that it's a girl here that's on YouTube that lives in Austin. And, you know, she has a daughter. And she buys her daughter, like, chocolate drop dolls and stuff like that because she's black. But if you look at her, she's very fair-skinned. So I guess my point is, I think some women do just say, hey, I'm black. I'm just a different shade. But then you got some women, like maybe the Karens or the Zales and stuff like that. They're like, well, you know, but I'm light-skinned, though. Mm-hmm. You know, like
that's something special.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm this, and I'm light-skinned. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an added, well, yeah, I'm light-skinned, you know, green eye bandits, and I got pretty eyes. You know what I'm saying? So, stuff that niggas probably, you know, they speak, oh, you light-skinned, you got them pretty eyes. You know what I'm saying? So, they used to that. So, I feel like they didn't even know what they're saying. And they're saying it's like, oh, she didn't fit the look. Because they're used to being, you know, the light-skinned ones. You know what I'm saying? You have this, you know, whatever they, I ain't going to say what they probably, horrible stuff they probably say about her, but you know what I'm saying? Because they feel like she's a different type of a black. Mm-hmm. So that's my whole point. That I think that some of these some people who are light-skinned, they fall into that stereotype, or they fall into keeping this stuff alive and don't even know it. Mm-hmm. Just because sometimes it be niggas that be hyping them up.
Yeah, because, it's a cycle. It's, it's systematic. It's historical. It's like, that's why I feel like, that's why I'm like, when I feel resurgence, I'm not, it makes sense because we're so in tune with our place in this country, you know, as black people. We're a little bit, this year has really busted the doors wide open. And I think colorism is an uncomfortable conversation for both sides, for the persons who might have received benefits or could receive benefits for being a lighter shade, and from the other side, those who are maybe not a lighter shade, a darker shade, or just those, you know, or just, I don't know, it's just an uncomfortable conversation. You know, going back to the rapper Mulatto, right, you know, she's going to change her name because her name is so controversial. I just totally disagree with that. She is, I understand that the term mulatto is about a horse, is you know, a horse that's a half breed and it's a mixed and da-da-da-da. You know, again, you know, just the same thing as the word nigga and all these other words. The, I mean, the word black, like, we ain't never really talked about that.
No, we can't.
We've never talked about how race became black and white. That, you know what I'm saying, to be honest, like, we act like, you know, and I want to be called black. So let's be clear, I support being called black, but I mean, just the idea that, who came up with the idea that we were black? How did we skip all shades of color
and just go to black?
To go to black. You know what I'm saying? Well, we have always been different shades. Yeah. We have never just been black. First of all, none of us are, well, I ain't gonna say none of us, because it could be some people that have a pigmentation of black, but 90% of us are not the color black, right? So that was white supremacy in itself. And so this idea that we can't kind of be in front of our own oppression, and I feel like Mulatto, the idea that's her name and what she represents, is makes people uncomfortable. People is uncomfortable with the idea. White people, dark, black people, dark, light people, just uncomfortable to have conversations around what, you know, because it is mulatto and black women. But before we even get to that, I want to make the point again. Black people come in all different kinds of shades. You could have two dark-skinned people, and somewhere in their genes, the person was is more fair shade.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of colorism and pigmentation is really all... colorism is a tactic that was made up. We were always different shades.
Yeah.
I don't even understand it to a certain degree that, while I understand mulatto and rape and what I started this conversation off with, but even scientifically, just basic human knowledge of the way genes and location and family history and traits, we would never all be the same color or shade. Never have been.
And it's not really, and it's not a shade or any, and what I think, and I'm kind of might be going off the top of what you're talking about, but I think going kind of back to what I was saying, but I'm not trying to beat a dead horse or, you know, be long-winded. I guess it's just, I think black people, like you said, get ahead of our own oppression. I think that's something we truly need to do. This programming that we have is so old and it's so stupid, and it's a mind fuck. Because while we're saying this shit, other races are coming in and sweeping everything up that we say is bad. They come and sweep it right up. It's the best thing since sliced bread.
The white women love them some black cock.
Yep, and the white men some dark, and they like the chocolate drops. All these white men get with these chocolate beautiful women, while we up here dogging it out like she ugly or whatever like this. And then, like I was talking about before, that book I had read, I really wish I knew the name of it. But that, I think his name is Eric Robertson. His last name, I think, was Robertson. Anywhere, something with an R. E-R, I think, was his initials. I don't know. It was a book I read when I was working at American Express years ago. You know, we used to, you work in call center sometimes, y'all, you know, pass books around. So that was one I read, and it was a girl. Long story short, it was a girl in the hood. And it was this fine-ass nigga, and he had this fine-ass girlfriend. But he was fucking the dark-skinned girl on the low. And, you know, he would...
Was it Milk in My Coffee? Eric Jerome Dickey?
I don't know if that was it. I don't think that was a name. It could have been, but anyway, he was fucking the chocolate girl behind, you know, regularly all behind closed doors, but he didn't want nobody to know. But meanwhile, he was with this, you know, pretty girl, and they had these relationship problems. But he, you know, he would have a get in a fight with the pretty girl, and then go find the chocolate drop, and then, you know, end up having sex with her. So long story short, she ended up getting out of that stitch, you know, stopped going back and forth with him, and she met her own man. And then he started trying to step up and trying to act like he wanted to be in relationships. And it, my whole point of that is, you know, while people or media or whatever, some the masses falls into this media shit that, you know, the lighter the better, and they don't want to put the darker girls on covers of magazines or whatever. We like brown, black of all shades. Like, we don't really be, some people be saying that, but then, like I said, you know, a girl went to high school, it was I say chocolate drop, she was a really, really Godiva. I say she was like a Godiva chocolate drop. Mm-hmm. And all the niggas was up on her. Girl I worked with at Target, the Godiva chocolate drop. All the niggas fucked one of the finest niggas in the store. I was asking her, how was it? I was like, girl, he's so damn fine. How was it? So, like, you know, they, it's not like they're, you know, people try, or even Candy always say, you know, don't try to play me. The men, you know, I ain't never had a problem with men. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because I'm dark. Don't be trying to make it seem like I can't be getting nobody. And dudes work, you know, dudes were up on Candy. So, I guess my point of me saying this is, it's like, we be saying this, like, all, you know, we making all these, like you said, color word, this less black and does like this, but I think some of it is just bullshit. People just doing it just because of this programming that we've all fell into, and it's like, why? It's like, it's stupid. Like, you know, you don't really have a problem with light-skinned women like that or dark-skinned women like that. You just, it's something, fucked up wiring in you somewhere where you want this trophy piece or you want to look like something. But you really do, you don't really have a problem with shit like that. Like, or maybe, I can't say that for sure. Maybe they do.
And it could be, like, how they was raised, you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
I thought about you today, Evan. I thought about you today. It was an Yala Van Sant clip. And it was this, I don't know if you've seen, I don't know if it was a new episode or old episode. It was about a son and a mama. And Yala was asking the mama, like, you know, why you do your son like that? And mama was just going, she was just not asking. And Yala was like, it is you. It is black mothers who destroy black men. Then you all want to know what's going on. It's the black mothers. Your son, you supposed to love your son. You know, she just went off. And she said it was black mothers who supposed to love and raise these black men. It is black mothers who is doing these to our young black men. And again, that was a particular story, a particular situation. But I would say this, when we talk about eternal racism and things like that, you know, a lot of these black men, where are they learning it from? And it could be their fathers, and it could be their mothers as well. You know what I'm saying? So I meant parents in general. I don't want to say it's like a black mother thing.
Yeah.
But I also think is, like, we, especially when we talk generational, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we have seen, you know, we know if the mother's like, you better not bring no non-black woman home. But we know, we also, I have heard black women, like, don't bring no certain type of black woman home. Like, you know, a certain type of look.
Yeah.
Or I want pretty babies. Or give me pretty grandbabies.
Hair,
or
pretty hair.
You know what I'm saying? So that is not far-fetched. I've heard that. I've heard that as a black man. I've heard that growing up from black mothers. Not necessarily just my mother or if my mother. But I've heard that. Like, I know that scenario. And so I can't, you know, so we all talk about. So I guess I brought that up because Inyala did make a point, though, right? We don't really just come, like, we talk about black men a lot. Mm-hmm. But we also talk about how a lot of black men are raised by single mothers. Mm-hmm. A lot. Oh. But we don't never really go into, like, black mothers and what they, what, you know, some of the things they do instill in, you know, their own shit. And I feel like it's Inyala, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, but it was very interesting because we talk about black mothers and black sons. That's, I think a lot of that, I think in a lot of ways, a lot of black mothers might have been a part of that cycle.
No,
I think so.
I mean,
not to put it all on them.
Yeah,
right?
But
I feel like their mother was probably the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's generational.
It's generational.
This idea to get away from blackness. You know, again, it's white right. You know what I'm saying? So we've had, but sometimes it's even subconscious, right? It's not even something that we live our daily lives like, I want to be more white. But we end up living our daily lives or some coming to that perpetual thinking, right? And you have mentioned it offline, right? We're saying in that podcast I was listening to, you know, I go to the black store to get ice, but I'm gonna go to the white store to get ice because their ice is colder.
Oh yeah, I mean, I used to have. I will admit, it wasn't. But well, let me explain. I'm just saying I did used to be one of those type of people when I was in Detroit, but not because I thought white was better. When I was in Detroit, like, and Tariq's always talking about me, you used to move into the suburbs and stuff like that. I didn't really feel me being a flamboyantly gay guy, you know what I'm saying, and me going through what I went through in high school, you know what I'm saying, and not really going through what I went through. Thank God kind of covered me through high school, because nothing horrible happened, but I didn't want to continue feeling like that. Like, I had to look over my shoulders and use my third eye all the time. So one thing I used to notice when I was younger is when I would be in Westland, when I would be in Livonia, when I would be in Novi, I didn't feel like I had to look over my shoulder as much as I did when I would maybe go to Fairlane. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just was, you know, I just never felt safe. And it wasn't just because I thought black people weren't safe. It's just I would get more negative attention. So for me, it was a safety thing. Oh, and keep it a buck, I like nice shit. I always felt like in the suburban areas, stuff just looked nicer. Coming from Detroit and everything Detroit being so broke and tore down, you know what I'm saying? They never even repaired anything from the riots in the 60s. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Shit was just tore down and then the city was just fucked up. Like, they never really fixed anything and they haven't even fixed everything now. So when I would go out to the suburbs and my mom, you know, would expose me to certain things, I always say exposure is very important. My mom would expose me to certain things and it was like, it was nicer. We go to Somerset. It's nice. I'm like, this is nice. I like this. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't really white.
So you like Somerset over Eastland?
Oh, please.
Fairlane?
Baby, please. Once I went to Somerset, baby, it wouldn't be going to the Fairlane no more. I'll drive my little hoopty all the way out to Troy. But yeah, so, but it wasn't about white. It was never about, but I can't say, but outside looking in, it would seem like I was saying, well, white, where white was, it was better. And it kind of was. So I guess, honestly, stuff was nicer in the white people's neighborhood. So that's why I would go to it, because I like nice stuff. I went to Detroit public schools my whole freaking life, and it was always just, you know, mold and mildewy and stuff, paint peeling, and I just never got used to that. I just never felt like that was what it was. So when I saw something nice, I'm like, oh no, this is more me. You know what I'm saying? This type of shit I like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to go and see stuff broke down and tore down and everything was old and outdated. I didn't like it. So when I would see that stuff in these white neighborhoods, I mean, even like South, I didn't really like, Northland? I didn't really like Northland. I thought it looked old too. So I was just, you know, so all these black things I just thought was old and not, I was like, wow, everything always, we got it so raggedy. So when I would go to the white neighborhoods, it was nicer. So that's why I would always go and I felt more safe. So that was my thing.
Okay. To kind of dissect that is loaded, because it's like, well, you know, is it safetiness in whiteness, right? Because, like, the idea that you felt safe, but were you truly safe, what we know now?
Yeah, what we know now. That's true.
You know, but the idea of what they have perpetuated us to believe as what's safe, and we know. And it's crazy, because it's weird that you just said that, because I just screenshotted this comment with this picture, and this is off topic, but it was like, black men make up 52% of all gun homicide victims in the U.S. while accounting for less than 7% of the population. Mm. So that's a whole different topic around safety.
Well, okay. I get what you're saying. Right. Was I more safe? But to be honest with you, maybe visibly, I felt like I was. Like, when I was in neighborhoods with black people, I saw that I was in danger. I can literally look at somebody and see they looking at me funny. I'm like, oh, let me not go that way. Because I can see it in their eyes, like, that motherfucker ain't up to no good. And he, you know what I'm saying? And I'm a target, almost. Like, you know, I'm just this flamboyantly gay person. I can't hide it if my life depended on it. So I'm like, okay, or you see a whole bunch of dudes. And it's like, okay, no. I'm definitely not walking over there through that. Like mm-hmm. that, I know they looking at me like they want some problems. I just didn't see that. And
yeah, no, I mean,
so, but I get what you're saying though, mm-hmm. right? If something went down in the suburb, and I've gotten tickets in the suburbs and stuff like that and put over, and I've been racially profiled all up and through the suburbs.
A whole different type of danger, right? A different type of danger.
It's a different type of danger.
They don't tell you, but they don't really perpetuate that danger.
Yeah, that's right.
That
means
you coming. Oh, you gonna come over here on this side of the track? So yeah, we got you. You know, a lot of black folks got tickets out there. We know how Michigan. Mm-hmm. Most tickets, people who have the most driving record issues is people who were driving in the suburbs.
Oh, hello.
Hi. In the hood.
My name's Eric. Right. I never had a Detroit. I only got a parking ticket in Detroit. That's the only ticket I've ever gotten in Detroit. Oh, and that. Oh, well, and that. Blind pig one, but that wasn't a driving ticket, mm-hmm. so that's the only ticket. But please, in the suburbs, oh, please, I've gotten several.
They did, they literally ruined a bunch of black people's lives, yeah. because they get a ticket, did they don't pay the ticket, did yeah. they go to jail, did they get a record, did they get mm-hmm. get caught with weed one time, yeah. and you know, all because of these safer neighborhoods.
Right.
but you're right on the other side. That's why I said I yeah. want to make that point.
So
that
I guess I sacrificed one for the other.
Yeah, you know.
But I made one better than the other. But I mean, but I felt like, well, going yeah, to jail is, I mean, something could happen to jail, but I mean, if I'm going over here with these fools, I don't know what's going to happen over there. Not all black men. Let me be very clear. I'm just saying.
But it makes sense. It yeah. makes sense. It's not to say that. And I also feel like while yours could have been more specific as to why, like you just stated, but I think we all just generally have that idea that like whiteness is safer or cleaner and newer. And, mm-hmm. and again, we know that, but then, you know, the conversation is to why, right? That's mm-hmm. going back to that. That is true, right? Yeah. Like the idea, again, what they consider safe, but we know, right? You know, in the hoods, you can't go to Walmart, right? I got to yeah. go to the ghetto grocery store.
Those
that's
food
deserts, sell me
or they, right,
$5
they have
for
one.
A can of sweet peas right. when I know I can go to Kroger, you know, in Rochester, get some sweet peas, $5 for $1.
Yeah.
You know what I said? Like, so they set it up, they designed it that way. But yeah, it just makes sense, right? Like, and so what are you thinking about, like, when we talk about, like, Mulatto and her keeping her name?
I mean, sometimes I get exhausted by this stuff. Like, even if she changed the name, it doesn't change
the conversation.
It doesn't change the conversation, and it doesn't change the privilege that she has. Because mm-hmm. we talked about this offline, and I was talking about Dreezy, and because Dreezy had came up on my phone, and I was like, well, Dreezy, I was like, and I'm listening to her raps, and I'm like, well, Dreezy can rap. I'm like, you know, and I'm like, Dreezy got some punchlines, all the things that I be like, and I'm like, she got it. You know, Dreezy in real life is like hood, like mm-hmm. she's a hood girl, but of course, she's a chocolate drop. And I'm like, so why aren't they, you know, and I think she was on a label. Wasn't she like on a label? Mm-hmm. I think she was on a label. I don't think she went on no indie. So I'm like, why is she like on a back burner? And she's this talented rapper, you know, this talented black woman that, you know, she went the sexy route. She started trying to, you know, dress more sexy and stuff like that. The same thing Mulatto did. Mm-hmm. Why did it not work for her, but it's working so well for Mulatto? And like, oh, I mean, these rappers is getting on it. Like, they like, it's like she's a trophy piece. Like, mm-hmm. she's like this nasty, light-skinned Mulatto with all these niggas want to fuck for real. You know what I'm saying? But then Dreezy is not. So my mm-hmm. thing is, she could change the name all day. That's not gonna change the situation. That's still gonna happen. The same. She's gonna be in the same situation. It's not gonna change anything. So
how could we get past colorism? Is it now? Is it now being exploded? Are we imploding it? Like, are these conversations or these issues now allowing us to be a little? Because I think it's just fakeness around it. But I think for me is to really stop separating like a Mulatto or light skinned people.
Yeah.
That's our shit. So let's embrace our shit for
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
That's one thing black people gotta do. Embrace our shit.
Yeah.
You know, but when would there ever be a place where light skin doesn't have privileges? How? How could that even happen? Like, how could that happen? How could we, like, okay, yes, we put more black people on the cover of magazines. We lift up more dark-skinned women, dark-skinned men, you know. But in this world of mixed, this world of, you know, we know more and more people are intermarriages and interrelationships.
Well, so, yeah, because I think I think what you said. I think it has to start. It got to start at home first. I think all this messed up, unfucked up wiring that's going on within our community, it has to start at home first. Because my thing is, you know, they going to do what they going to do. I'm not, I can't even speak to what they shit. I can speak to ours and what I think we need to do. They shit, they going to keep on doing it. But my thing is, if we keep on listening to them, like he was saying, you know, you go to a black place and get some ice and you go to a white person ice because they ice is colder. Black people do that. Like, mm-hmm. if a white person say something or
it's
they
law.
Should, yeah, it's law. Like, well, such and such and such said this. And like, why? Just because they said it, you believe it.
They do it all the time.
Yeah, they do.
Like, you hear doctors, like black doctors say that people would undermine their medical advice. Lawyers, we see professors, teachers, we see it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, because they're black, they could be a black person and a white person. And because we automatically assume that the white person is more knowledgeable.
But you know what, though, is what's funny, and I think one thing that I think I've been unprogrammed with as far as this whole entrepreneur journey, and it hasn't even just been recent. I don't even go, I do have some people that, I do have people that I got courses from of all races, but like people I work with personally, like when I talk about coaches, I really only go to black. I really only go to black people, and I don't do that. I don't compare and say, well, what the white people saying. If I follow this person, oh well, that's what she say or what he say. I believe him. I don't question him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't. Oh well, let me go to somebody who's white. Let me be part of the white program or whatever. I don't do that. So, and but I know a lot of people who probably are opposite. Mm-hmm. They see all these white people or white people kind of, well, I'm gonna go to that one because I'm pretty sure that they talking about the real money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think
they just the scammers. I'm with you. You know, I'm more comfortable around black people, and and it had to get to a point where I had that same fear growing up too, being black and queer and all of that. That, you know, black heterosex, and that's a whole nother conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the homophobia has programmed us to be that way as well, and for good reasons, right? You know, it was a little bit more safer. You know, I particularly went to a PWI versus a HBCU on purpose, right? Because I didn't want to be the black gay one, and I just felt like I'm from Detroit. Why would I want to go back to be around black people all the time? Mm-hmm. I want to experience other stuff. But also, it was probably feeling more safe, you know, in my gayness that, you know, because of all the things that you stated. So I definitely understand that. But I also, just off the subject, too, because my sisters have teased me more recently because of, like, the last two people I've been, you know, and I've teased you as well, being attracted to light-skinned guys. But the last two people that I've been with, you know, one is multiracial, well, and the other one was so light-skinned that most people didn't think he was all the way black. But let's be clear for everyone, even the people that, because, you know, I've heard people comments about me being with who I am now. Like, okay, well, yeah, you know, oh, this black man is, you know, things is happening now. He's, you know, but he would be with, you know, that particular type of person mm-hmm. on his, you know. You know, but that's not true. Like, I love dark skin. I just love it. First of all, because I love myself. Well, so let's
right,
be clear.
Right.
So the idea that I would, and the people who do say that, that's self-hatred. How don't you like dark skin and you're dark skin? Like, I never understood that when even people would have said that. I would say in my whole life, maybe at least 25 times or more that I've heard a dark-skinned person say, I don't like dark-skinned people. Like, I wouldn't date dark-skinned people. I'm dark-skinned. I don't like that. I like that. And I never understood that because I've never felt that way. I've never one time in my life felt like I didn't like dark skin. Like, I always found it to be beautiful. Like, I mean, because it's like, for you to say that, I can't correlate how you don't like something that you are to that degree that you stereotype and discriminate.
Right.
Because by you saying that I would not and I don't like that, you are stereotyping and discriminating. And people call preference. Skin tone cannot be a preference. Racism is a preference if that's the case.
Yeah.
I can prefer not to like you because you black. That is no difference than not wanting to be with you because you're light skinned or dark skinned. Mm-hmm. So you can't take preference. Preference is, you know, like, You know, and I might, I don't know, that might, what do you feel about that? I guess I can't just automatically assume that everybody feel that way. What do you feel about preference? Could, is skin tone, it, should that be?
No, I don't think it's no damn preference. And let me be clear, I just because I was with two, and I don't even think one of them was light skinned. He was just a lighter brown than chocolate drop, but he was definitely not light skinned. Oh, yeah.
And that's another thing. Y'all girls need to learn what light skinned is.
Yeah.
All y'all calling yourselves light skinned. Yeah. Not, I'm so tired of it.
Oh, my God. Like, well, you know, I'm light skinned. No, you're not.
You're
a lighter shade of brown.
Right. You're brown skinned. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Why are you trying to be light skinned?
Yeah, no.
I don't get that.
No, I don't get that either. But no, let me be very clear. I am not a colorist. My thing is, I like who like me. Those two just happened to like me, and they were more fair. But my thing is, I love a chocolate man. I think especially, let me stop. But, you know, especially when they don't have any clothes on. I think they just, like my girl Dina Howard said, you know, the, what she say in that song, Butt Naked. She's talking about how the candlelight and stuff like that, how it looks on your skin and all that kind of stuff. I think on the chocolate drops, it looks beautiful. I love it. So, no, I'm not, you know, I don't know. Chocolate drops just don't ever approach me like that. I don't know why. I don't know what that is. But anyway, I don't think that's a preference. What I want to say is, I think a lot, especially, now I'm not trying to go on gay girls. No, let me not even say girl, because I think all people do this. When they get that fair-skinned, light-skinned trophy piece, everybody ready to take pictures. You know what I'm saying? Like, or we going to sit there and be on Native Sons and stuff like that because you got you a light skin. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, you got this redneck. Or you know, now I got me a light-skinned one, so now I can go and take pictures and we could be Instagram and, you know what I'm saying, because I got the trophy piece.
Mm.
As like the trophy piece. Yeah, the trophy piece. Like they see that as like a trophy piece. Like, cause I got somebody light skinned, that's, you know, I got the baddest one because they're the light one. Like that is something that definitely was prominent in Detroit. Like if you got the light one, you got the light skinned girl, the light skinned girl, you made it. Like if you was one of the niggas, I got the light skinned girl, the class. That's, you know what I'm saying? You got the cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people still do follow that. Even us black people follow that. So that's when they say, well, that's my preference, but it's only a preference for the look.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a preference for, you know what I'm saying, anything else.
Like, because what does it mean?
Yeah, what does,
like,
it do?
What is the preference?
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to skin tone, what is the preference? Like, when I say I prefer to date black people or black men, it's because we're culturally connected.
Exactly.
They understand. Exactly. We have shared lived experiences.
Exactly.
It's not that just because. Like, so when you talk about light skin and dark skin, like, what is the preference? What does a lighter skin, what do you get out of that? Like, what does that give you over a darker skin?
Right. You feel like you got something. You feel like you got quality, and the person that's the chocolate drop is not, you don't consider that quality.
So that's right. You hit it right on the nose, because that is the difference. Like, that's not a preference. Skin tone cannot be a preference.
No.
Because you have to then explain what the advantage is of, and I've heard some really bad, I have heard some disrespectful shit.
Mm-hmm.
With some of those, around those, and I'm not even going to go there. We're not even going to go there.
Mm.
So I have heard some shit, and it ended up being discriminatory. Again, it is the bullshit that it presents itself to be when you say that you have a preference over, you know. And I don't even like it for dark skin. I'm not even saying that because, you know, people say it all the time, like, oh, I like dark skin men over that. Either way, right? You know what I'm saying? Because it again is the divisive, you know, mechanism that we use amongst ourselves. Again, I don't. Like, even if you made, okay, so I would say, like, okay, if you said that about dark skin and you're like, oh, you like the way the candle, you know, illuminated on the darker skin, that's at least a explanation, I guess, that we can go with. And someone said that that's specifically why they like darker skin people. You know, but I'm very, but I've, like I said, I've heard some disrespectful.
Well, yeah, that's just one thing. Let me be very clear too. That's just a perk. You know what I'm saying? That's just something that stands out. I'm not saying that's the only reason why. I'm just saying there. You know, I think all shades of brown are beautiful. I can look at any shade of brown and be like, ooh, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they might have a certain color. Ooh, that color just, it looks so nice on their skin. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's all shades of brown for me.
All.
So right,
I love them all.
Yeah, I like all. I don't, you know, for me, it's, I like what like me. So we don't know what my husband walking around here, what skin color he is. But I, you won't never hear me, and you ain't never heard me on this podcast say, well, you know, he stood up there and he, you know, he light skinned and everything like that. I ain't never said that. Yeah, now, what I said was, nigga. I said tall. Yeah. That's where I discriminate. I like height. That's where I do discriminate. I do, that could be a problem, but I discriminate with height. But you ain't gonna never hear me talk about, well, I know my husband, he gonna be light skinned as hell. He gonna have good hair and pretty eyes. I ain't never said that shit, and I won't ever say that shit.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then, I mean, it's just, it's so dated, but it's so now.
Yeah,
and
it
we,
is.
We're going to continue to see it on Instagram and on Native Son and on all these, you know, the particular rappers that make it, even gay male rappers, is a certain look that they have, yeah. Certain female rappers that's all popping up they have. I mean, colorism is real, so I don't like the fact that people say, I don't see color, I don't, but colorism don't exist, stop that. As long as colorism is a byproduct of racism.
Yeah. And
so it exists. It's a mental thing. It is. Colorism is not a preference. I'm not here for it. I'm going to look at you sideways. I prefer. Wow, okay. Now, again, you can have your preference. I'm not here to, you know, put you on judge, but I'm going to look at you a certain way. Because, I mean, especially now, you know. It's the more you know, the better things you should say and perpetuate, and things should come out of your mouth. And these people that, you know, I like in light skin, okay. I know what that's code for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Eternal racism.
Yeah.
Colorism is nothing but eternal racism, okay? That's all it
on
is.
On period.
On period.
Because you think lighter or white is better.
Mm-hmm.
And you low-key be, you admire and you low-key like their lifestyle, like a Chicana. And you were talking about some, oh, I want to go be rich like white people. You have all these perceptions of what white people is. And, you know, and some of that is a result of, too, of systemic racism, mm-hmm. or systematic racism, or some of that stuff. That's in that, too.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I was looking at, I talk about this a lot, but I was looking at about another video. I can't talk about it yet, but in the video that when Kristen comes back, we'll talk about. But mm-hmm. Anyway, they were talking about black, you know, wealth in black for blacks, you know, and black is, you know, it's only what, 2%. We still, like, most of black people, according to 2016, you know, are middle class, make what, 30 something thousand to maybe 50 something thousand dollars a year or something like that. And my point in me saying that is, you know, I think that because people equate, because Shekinah was like, I want to go where the rich white people go. People equate white or lighter to richness or wealth or, again, better. Mm-hmm. And I think once we change, you know, once that changes and we start seeing more, you know, successful people, black people of all different shades and colors, or at least we accept it and not, you know, only look towards the light skin. Because another thing, too, you know what I'm saying? Some people, you know, there are people of all shades that have type of successes or stuff like this, or like doctors and stuff like that. But like you just said, you're saying you don't take their opinion because we're looking towards the white or the lighter. So it's, oh, the rewiring that needs to happen in our community is just, I can't even really describe it. But I think it just kind of all starts at home. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's true. That's definitely true. So yeah, I mean, I just thought that was a really good conversation for us to really talk about, colorism and these girls that, you know, shout out to all my light skinned girls. I love y'all. Y'all black to me.
Yeah,
all
y'all my black
mixed
to me.
Girls, all y'all black. All y'all black, and the ones that want to be black, you know, girl, join the family. Like, I don't care. I mean, if you just know that you ain't black, so you know what I'm saying. So you don't get the same card.
Yeah, no.
We'll give you another color card. You know what I'm saying. So I just want to just let you know all of us, we black, y'all, no matter what. Now we passed that. Now let's deal with our own shit. And colorism is our own shit. Mm-hmm. And the point I want to make is visibility. You know, that's why I'm big on, you know, being a person that's living with HIV, like why I came out about visibility, or being a black queer person, mm-hmm. visibility. The reason why we have to shift to culture, and, you know, and I can complain all day, like, they just want to throw black people on covers and darker skin. They want to, you know, throw a bone. Well, I mean, it's a start. Like, we have to do that. But to Emerson's point that he made, when you put a black woman on there, don't let it be about just her body. Don't let it be about mm-hmm. the things that make it not about who she is and her skin. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, let's keep pushing and keep changing, you know, the norms of it. You know, it shouldn't just be Naomi Campbell. you know, 30 years of black beauty and, you know, however long she's been. And she, I don't know another darker skin. I mean, it is some that's like African and, you know, from other places in the world. But like in America,
she is from other too, though.
Yeah, she's from other too. Right, right. So that's a whole different ball game when we talk about blackness and the African diaspora versus black folks in America. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we do, and they do love that beauty. Black beauty when it's other.
Yeah, they do.
They love other.
Oh, I say that all the time. I was like, where can we just have the cute black girl? Where's the cute black girl that's from, you know, she grew up around the corner from me. Where's she at?
Right.
Because they fine as hell and beautiful too. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was looking at Tia Marie yesterday.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. She's a beautiful girl. Mm-hmm. But she's, you know, supposed to be some drunk, drunk, I'll just say broke. I ain't gonna say broke. Well, no, they probably think she broke because of that shit with 50 Cent, which is problematic.
Yeah.
Right, so, you know, this black, you know, I ain't gonna go there. But yeah, so she's supposed to be this drunk, broke bitch, but she's really a beautiful girl that's from Detroit.
But she ain't Creole.
She ain't right.
From the islands.
Right, right.
You know, that's, you know, she ain't Latin. You know, you think about, like, no shade, like, most of these girls, they're either Creole, they're trying to have some identity, just, you know, from the island. We love the other. We just don't like just playing no black folks, which most of us are. But, you know, that's our own shit. But like I said, that's one of the biggest things I just wanted us to get out of. Love our mixed people. Love, they still black. And until you walked into their shoes, you can't dictate their blackness. I don't think that's what we need to stop doing, white supremacy on our own people. We're doing the same shit that they do to us.
We do.
To each other. And it's just so weird. It's weird. It's like, if the bitch says she black, and because her daddy black, then she black. Like, why do she need to explain to you her blackness? Now, if she doing some fucked up shit, you call her out on what she's doing. And black people can do fucked up shit.
Yes, they can.
So it's not a question because, and it could be because they mixed. But she a black woman who's mixed that's doing some fucked up shit because she's mixed. That is a scenario that needs to be addressed. But we can't even have that conversation because they ain't black enough for you. Which I don't think we can determine that. Because we don't know. We don't know what those racist people been doing, those mixed people, or, you know, I've watched it. I've seen what we might not consider being black people be in the spaces of only being considered black.
Yeah.
Because they can't be nothing but black.
Mm-hmm.
And they could only have 1% of black in them. But that 1% of black changes the whole story and the whole conversation. In most of America.
Mm-hmm.
Not New York, L.A., in most of the America that we know that 75 million people voted for Trump. That one drop of black can determine their lifestyle and how they were raised. I had a guy call me today about a project, and, you know, and while I respect him as an artist, and I'm going to wrap this up, I'm done. But, you know, he was, like, calling me. He went, oh, you know, he's a photographer. He want to do this work with, you know, he was specifically, you know, a black queer man living with HIV, meaning me. But he had did some other stuff with, like, some Indian women who have, you know, suffered, you know, being on reservations and from domestic violence and stuff like that. And different scenarios of oppression and marginalized people.
Oh, which you bring up. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish. I don't know when that was.
And then really what the point was is that he wanted to do that work. He was like, he grew up in, you know, South Texas, where his, and mind you, he's Latin, right? And I have to remember when I think about, like, South Texas Latin, they're racist. He, like, grew up, his, you know, father taught him that, you know, he hated blacks, and he hated, you know, white, you know, and it was just interesting to, like, hear this Latino really explain how he was raised to hate black people, right? So what about that mixed Latino that was maybe down the street? Or the cousin dipped out and had sex with a black man and had a little mixed Latin black baby in that family. And I heard it from the horse's mouth. His daddy told him and taught him how to hate black people. He was Latin. So imagine what a black mixed Latin person would have endured in that family or on that block.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think we need to pay attention to that. That's blackness. Blackness, we're special. We're all types of people. But go ahead. What did you say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say this brought to my attention. I was looking at the same video I was looking at with one of the pro-black people. And another thing, too, is, and I'll end it at this, you know, a lot of times we, or not we, black people, admire other cultures and stuff like that. They want to go so white or be, you know, Asian dialogues because they act like other races don't have the same issues as us. Mm-hmm. The difference is they might not deal with racism, but as far as abuse, rape, molestation, all that kind of stuff, they have the same problems we do. The difference is a lot of times we go out and we talk about ours and we want to tell everybody and it end up being, and they, media, they just taking a run with it. Yeah, exactly. Iyanla. We use it as entertainment, or we use it to, you know, we want to go tell everybody about it. But they go through the same shit, if not worse. And I tell you this all the time. I'm like, you know, with these, no shade, I'll just say some of these relationships with some of these people and they be married. And I'm like, the shit that they probably go through, ugh, I wouldn't want not even an inch of it. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what it looked like on the outside. Some of the stuff that these people be dealing with behind closed doors with their husbands, these quote unquote ideal relationships or the average American looking family, all kind of stuff. The stuff that they deal with from that, ugh, no thanks.
They can have it.
And they don't make it better just because it's a different race. And that's why I need to go over and get me some of that. Nope. I don't want it.
I agree. And I'll imagine, can you imagine the billion people in China and Asia and India, and like if the communist China could have a reality show about the bullshit that's going on over there, can you imagine?
Okay,
what kind of shit that we, if they was on TV and displayed and as entertainment, right? Yeah. But that just shows you the, you know, how our lives is, you know, valued.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
But that's all for me, y'all. You know, Mr. Telltale's in the building. Ow. 2020. Ow. It's coming to an end. Ow. But hit me up, because I'm going to let Emerson in. You know, since he's got this fabulous new website. Let me just, my dusty old MrTelltales.com. I need to, about that last week, I need to update it. But I'm working, period. But hit me up on Mr. Telltale's on Twitter, IG, Facebook, What's in the Mirror on Twitter, and Twitter, IG, and Facebook, www.thefilter.com. Holla, what's up, everyone?
You can go and find me at essencestyle.com, and that's mine, so that's where I was free to go. But if you could also go to Instagram, I'm essencestyle, click the link, and you can find me everywhere else. And if you know any public speakers who are looking to change their look, or they want to let out that little inner rich auntie they have in them, please tell them to hit up stylecliquespeak.com, and they can get an appointment with me, and we can talk about it and everything like that. And that's that on that.
I guess bye.
Please forget the damn hyphen. I'm real tired of these people whining like Mario.